Wow, it's just too bad nothing happened this weekend. Good God. Cousin Sal is joining me to talk about the NBA Finals, the NFL, and a whole lot more. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse. And bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network. Ringer Podcast Network is cranking after every finals game. You listen to The Ringer NBA Show, and we're going to have live reactions for all of them. We're also going to be here on Tuesday night. Me and Rosillo, we're moving our weekly pod, my podcast, Tuesday night, right after Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Stay tuned for that. New rewatchables coming up on Monday, the 25th anniversary of one of my 10 favorite movies ever, Kicking and Screaming. Yeah. You might not have heard of it. And if you haven't, shame on you, because it's fantastic. So that's coming up. And also coming up, Cousin Sal, right after our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, Cousin Sal is here. Action-packed weekend. It started out with the president coming down with COVID.
What?
Late Thursday night. Yeah, I'm sorry to break the news to you. Had that going all weekend, plus a bunch of people in his administration, some other Republicans. So that's going on. The finals, the Lakers take a commanding 2-0 lead, and it just seems done. And the Heat are 9.5-point underdogs in an elimination game. Then we have all this football stuff, and it's like, wow, Pat's Chiefs is going to be great. Cam gets COVID. So now it's like, oh, man, well, what happens to that game? Then somebody on the Saints supposedly gets COVID. Now we think that game's going to be canceled. We're on text threads trying to figure out what to do with our fantasy leagues. It feels like the world's ending. Somehow we made it to Sunday night, and a lot of stuff happened. But Sal, tumultuous weekend.
You starting a fantasy league this year, it's extra ass kicking to getting kicked out. Just you're on top of it. I have to hand it to you, and I'm stealing ideas from you. I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. People could just text you if they want the Kansas City or New England guy in, but start their backup, and then we could switch it out. But my hats go off to you and try any fantasy football kind of commissioner that's trying to run things. It's impossible.
I like that we start with fantasy football commissioners over the future of the free world.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. As our president, we have no idea how sick he is, what's going to happen. It's
we have an idea. He's doing a victory lap in a motorcade. He's fine. What do you mean we have no idea?
Well, he was signing blank sheets of paper with a Sharpie.
That's how you start. And then you get into
reflections that were like, that was pretty weird. That was a weird thing.
I do love, though, I don't want to make it political, but I do love that this is a guy who famously doesn't like getting briefed. He doesn't like reading stuff. But now that he has COVID, he's like a CPA during tax season doing work. Like okay, I don't know if I'm buying this.
I would have been more realistic if he was fixing his fantasy team lineup, trying to be like, oh my God, wait, what's going to happen with that New Orleans game? So, I think all of us as football fans were a little worried that this was going to be the snowball down the hill that was going to gain momentum. And then within 3 weeks, I went to some dark places as a fan, thinking like 12-week season. What, you know, do you have like a Cardinals situation where one team ends up playing 12 games? You realize like how kind of lucky we had at the first 3 weeks when it was kind of going well.
Yeah.
and you forget how easily the rug can get pulled out of it. Do you think we have a 16 game season?
I don't. First of all, there's no rush, right? They've already talked about they could play the Super Bowl in March. They're very precious with the Super Bowl, obviously. Usually they rent hotel rooms out months in advance and everything. So this year's Super Bowl may not be as big as they just might have to bite it, right? It might just have to be the last game of the season, in which case they could have it in March. And if that's the case, maybe they do have 16 games. I still don't think they get there. I think this is too tough. And people are like, oh, leave it alone. Baseball. Cardinals and Marlins had only played three games after, 4 weeks, and they came back. It's different. These teams travel like 2.5-3 times as much personnel. The season is twice as long. So already you're at like 8X at a disadvantage of what if you want to compare it to baseball. I just don't like it. I said it's like I wake up every morning and I see like I have 18 texts because we're on the West Coast. I'm like, this is gonna be shitty. It's gonna be shitty news. So
You think like the mistake probably every decision they made to get the schedule going seemed geared around when they announced the schedule on ESPN.
Yeah, right.
It was
right.
Look at this. And then week 8, we got this coming. And it was like, maybe not the year to do that. Maybe this was the year that after 8 weeks, we just put in a bye week for everybody to buy a buffer in case there were any COVID games that we had to reschedule, whatever. Maybe right. It should have been like a 19-week regular season. And you figure, all right, if we use all of it, great. If not, we'll move the playoffs up, but let's be a little less regimented. Now it's like the Pats and Chiefs playing tomorrow night, we think. We're taping this Sunday night, almost 9:00 Pacific time. But, even that's a little weird. Now the Chiefs, now they have one less day. They're waiting on the Pats. The Pats are trying to find out. They're supposed to be preparing for an opponent. They're trying to find out if anyone else, got infected.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it would have been easier to just be like, yeah, let's nudge this one to the built-in bye week we had after week 8 and we're good.
The Pats are taking two flights, one where the people who were around the guy who was infected and the one where people were around Cam, the other where they weren't. I don't know that you could bet on which flight's going to land. We have to get on that. There must be a teaser in there somewhere. But I think the traveling is the big thing, right? So last Friday, Atlanta was home and that miserable game they blew. What was the last game they blew? Was it to Chicago? I can't even remember the last one.
It was Dallas then Chicago.
Dallas then Chicago. So last week was Chicago. They played Chicago. That Terrell test positive on Friday and they go and they play because traveling is the big thing. So what's the answer? Do they travel earlier in the week, all these teams, to get one test ahead of it? I don't know. I'm a child. So whatever the NFL decides, I have like an adverse reaction. I'm like, that's wrong, but I have no solution. Right. I really don't. I don't know.
Well, they've spent the last 10 plus years of the Goodell era eroding our trust in every decision they make. So that's another issue. I literally have no faith in any decision they're going to make. Yeah. I think they've been pretty lucky. It's gone okay in college, right? For the most part.
They're letting kids play. I mean, they're not letting kids play with the virus, but you'll see 10 guys on a team test positive, and then, I don't know, next thing you know, most of the team is on the field.
It just really feels like everything is unraveled.
I hate it. I know. I looked at October. I'm like, do we make it through October? And in so many facets of life, I'm not sure that we do. But
good Lord.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I don't know. You don't want the fantasy leagues falling apart. I keep going back to fantasy, but I feel like if we can't figure that out, it makes it even worse.
Everything's going to unravel if we don't have fantasy. Yeah, I hit a point after the Lakers won that second game.
Yeah.
And then the camp thing happened and you start the football schedule seems flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, there was this black hole staring at us where it was like the NBA could have been done on Tuesday if the Lakers swept. Football is in complete flux.
Right. I know.
And now we're back to where we were in May, doing podcasts about, rank the Rocky movies and any sort of evergreen content we could possibly do. It was so much fun to have all this stuff going on. Because we didn't have to think about all the serious stuff as much, And now the serious stuff is just staring at all of us again.
We
not
got
that it
spoiled.
Wasn't before, but at least we had distractions.
Yeah, and, I don't know. I saw something where a lot of coaches around the league are saying that we should shut down for 2 weeks and then regroup and cancel games and then make a different schedule. And, the owners are going to say, screw you. We're weeks away from putting fans in the, we are some teams already have fans in the stands. They want to, some teams have a deal to up it to like 30-40% by the end of October. They're not canceling games. This is, we're kind of, we're not going to be any better off 4 weeks from now than we are now. So
this has happened a few times the last few months. It happened with Trump Thursday night. It happened with the Cam news where I'm like either on the phone or I'm in another room and I just hear my phone start to beep.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh no, what, you know, what happened? You know, you normally when that happens, it's stupid stuff with like one of our friends, right? Cheer about right. Daniel, blah, blah, blah. And instead, this is like real stuff. You know, you wake up to Cam Newton things and worrying about his health. Hopefully he's okay.
Right.
Yeah. This is, everyone keeps saying 2020. Oh my God, it's so insane. But I just feel like we're going to look back at this 20 years from now and be like, God, remember that year? Like, how did we do that? How did all of us do that? How we're going to birthday parties with masks on. My buddy of mine in Massachusetts was saying he was at his son's soccer game today. They were playing soccer with masks on.
Wow.
That like 12 year olds. It's like, really? This is
bizarre.
This is what life is like. We're just used to it. Like we just kind of adapt and go. Before we talk about the football, this is a pretty interesting week four. We got to talk about the NBA Finals.
Let's do it. I didn't know. I thought you bet the Heat. I know you have the Heat for the series, and I have the Lakers.
I thought
for
it was
series.
Over.
I thought you bet them tonight. I thought you had the Heat. Well, no.
When they ruled out Adebayo and Dragic, I was like, well, I'm just going to throw the Lakers in some parlays. Like, obviously, they're going to sweep.
Right.
Didn't realize Jimmy Butler was going to out LeBron. He played like an old school LeBron on his second Cleveland tour when he would go against the Warriors by himself, like game one, 2018, a couple of those 2015 finals games where it's just like, all right, I guess it's just me. I'm get out of my back, guys. I got this.
Right.
And he did it. I mean, it was honestly one of the great finals games that I think if you remove the five or six, seven greatest players of all time, and you go to that next level of like, you know, James Worthy, game seven, 1988, that kind of level of guy, it's way up there. I mean, really, like to stave off the sweep, I didn't like the Lakers' body language at all. We still think they're going to win the series, but he really haymakered them and he kind of out-alphaed them. And I was just shocked the entire time. I kept waiting for, you know, the Lakers were hanging around. They had like 10 turnovers in the first quarter and a half or something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, hey, how are they only down six? It just seemed like one of those games. And then they finally tied it. And then Butler just kind of took over again. And then all of a sudden they were up six. LeBron's 30 feet from the basket, letting like Markieff Morris and Kuzma shoot.
Oh, it's terrible.
It was bizarre. Davis was in a coma the whole game. And then all of a sudden it's 2-1. What did you think? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched. Of course I had it on the screen. First of all, odds wise, Butler was 10-1 to be the high scorer tonight. He was 40-1 to have a triple double. That's pretty phenomenal. 40-1. And he had to do all that stuff kind of to win. And let's be honest, the refs had to put AD in foul trouble early. They last game, game two, they did what they could. Miami had 31 free throws made to the Lakers 10, but it didn't matter because the offensive boards were there all night for the Lakers.
I actually thought that was a well officiated game. I got to say, I thought this one, AD got some stupid touch fouls, but Bam got two touch fouls in game one that I thought turned that game around too.
Your boy Scott Foster had it, even it was the only way it was going to happen. They had to get him in foul trouble to go up down. I mean, I feel like we're watching professional wrestling after a while a little, but I don't want to take anything away from Jimmy Butler. He's fun to root for. He was great. The Lakers did look out of sorts, but I don't.
Well, but beyond the foul trouble, they 19 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Davis had five. LeBron had eight. LeBron had, you know, he had 25, 10, and 8, but it was not, did not look that good watching
right.
it. And if anything, could have had even a couple more fouls and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought Mark Jackson called it. He was like, they're not playing hard enough.
Yeah, maybe
and
they
overlooked
them.
I felt that way watching it.
I mean, I think when your points in the paint are such a disparity versus in game two, like you may feel like you don't have to try as hard, you know, you just kind of own them inside. I think that's what happened early on, but just the same. They were down 12. They were down 14 and came, but they had the lead in the fourth quarter, the Lakers, right?
They did. They took like a 2-point lead. Yeah. Butler said after the game, they were like, what's the difference? He's like, we had to rebound. Right. The rebounding, they got out-rebounded by six, but the game two, it was like 200.
Yeah, they'll take
so
six.
So they did that, and I thought they figured out. What's funny is I thought Miami could have played better because Robinson was 3-for-10 from three, and Hero was 2-for-7.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, and Crowder was 2-for-8. So those three guys together were 7-for-25. Pretty much all of those shots were wide open because the Lakers weren't, you know, playing as hard as they were in game two.
Yeah.
But there's a version of this game where the Heat win by like 25 if they were actually making shots. But I thought they figured out a couple things with Butler that the Lakers couldn't adjust to. They were basically doing the LeBron trick where whoever was on Butler, he would get the screen, get the switch on the guy he would want. They'd put the three guys on the other side of the court. And then he was kind of doing this little pseudo old school one-on-one stuff. He didn't make a three in that game. He didn't take a three.
Right.
40 points with no threes. He's 6'6".
That's the most impressive stat out of all.
Oh,
of
my God. I that was one of the best games I've seen an old school superstar play.
Yeah. It's an old school beatdown. That's what it was. It wasn't Steph Curry like doing his thing. Gets hot from behind the arc. He hit from everywhere. And really just took it to him. It's interesting because all three games have been like kind of very different, right? So
yeah,
I don't know. How do you predict game four? Well, what do you I know what the line is. You want to guess the line? It was 10 tonight.
It shouldn't be lower. Well, we don't know if Bam's coming back though.
They have a line. Yeah, we don't know.
I would say Lakers 8.5.
Yeah, 7.5. Mm. I thought it'd be a little higher. 219.5 minus 330 for the game for the Lakers. And now the favored result is Lakers to win 4-1 at minus 150.
It's funny. So Bam, Olynyk, and Leonard play 44 minutes. They score 24 points, 8 rebounds, and they go 8-for-12.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get any of the defense that Bam gives you, but they were able to get by offensively with those guys. And defensively, just they're switching, just playing harder.
Right.
I thought they were going to do this in game two. I told you in house, I did a Heat money line parlay with the over. Because I think they're coming out, shoot a million threes. And it was 1-10, I think, or 1-9. So it was plus 900. I was like, there's a version where they, and it was actually what ended up happening in this game.
But this is what I mean. Like every game is different. What did the Lakers bench points? Didn't they weren't half their points on the bench or a little less?
In this game?
Yeah, 40 something. Am I wrong?
Well, that's
about
the part. That's the part that frustrates you if you're the Lakers, because you have Morris and Kuzma both have 19 off the bench. And if you think if you just say that before the game, like you're getting 38 points from Morris and Kuzma, you'd be like,
game's over.
Oh my God, we won by 20.
Right.
But Davis no-showed. And the crazy thing about Davis was after game two, I was on a couple of text threads with House and my friend Hershey trying to, I was like, I'm going to redo the Pantheon and the Pyramid after, do it every year. I make the list and I'm like, I think AD might be I think he's in the top 40 now. Like he's completely dominant.
Mm.
You look at these all-time greats and he is the best two-way player in the league. He's been first team All-NBA 4 times. Like this is going to be his moment.
You're not doing it now.
He was minus 26 tonight and it was worse than that. I thought he looked asleep.
Yeah.
For him to have 5 rebounds in a game against this Heat team is unconscionable.
Well, but he's playing. It's a delicate play. Like, he was in foul trouble, right? Like, of course you're going to end up with a minus. I don't know.
I guess. He only finished the game with 4 fouls. They also, they kind of unlocked what to do when Howard was out there, which I think is a problem for Miami going forward. And if they can get out of bio back, even if he's 80%, it just gives them flexibility. It gives them a chance to at least look different.
Yeah.
And have different kinds of lineups and stuff like that. I'd love this Miami team all year. I really thought they were going to win or come close in game two. And when they got their teeth kicked in, I thought, this is over. Like, the Lakers are just too big for them. Now, I don't know what to think.
That's what I mean. With every game being so different, it's really hard to gauge anything. And, I hate to be a crybaby, but I don't think the Dolphins, the Heat will have the refs. You know, they're not. I think they let them play now, game four.
It's the problem with and I said this going into the series, you can interpret some of these LeBron moments any way you want, depending on what the situation of the series is, right? He's creating so much contact on both ends.
Oh, yeah.
And, and then Davis is just flying around the rim. And even some of those you can interpret however you want. But
I know they add the crowd noise, but you could still hear the players more prominently than normal. When you hear LeBron, like, gets me, it's like, he elbowed me in the face.
I was
like, oh my God, I think he's going to get a restraining order. What the hell? What's going on? He's so upset.
Yeah. The other thing that Miami looked like Miami today. That was what really frustrated me about those first two games is they were deer in the headlights. They weren't winning the 50-50 balls.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, those first three rounds, every loose ball they were getting.
Yep.
They were so tough. They had so much swagger. This game, they had the swagger. And there was a couple times Butler was barking at Rondo. He's barking at LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron barked at somebody at one point, and Butler started talking. And the league was doing its best to cut away every time.
Right.
Every time there was stuff happening, they always cut to like the freaking, you know, the Miami bench or something. But
you hear the audio drops because when they're swearing, you hear the silence. Like, yeah, so it's fun.
But that's what I was saying before the series. You have to you have to go at LeBron. You have to, you know, get macho with him, and you have to be physical with him, and you have to talk to him. And the more reverential you are, the worse it is. He's going to destroy you. But yeah. LeBron's in a really interesting spot because he's never been, you know, Durant in 2017, they went toe-to-toe. Durant was probably slightly better.
Mm-hmm.
2011, Dirk outplayed him, but LeBron was gone in that series. He didn't have it and got worse as it went along. This was somebody doing a LeBron impersonation with LeBron on the court, which I can't remember seeing.
Right. Well, I think the Lakers win in Miami, then game five comes back to LA. They win it. Oh, that's not how it's I'm sorry.
How about what a roller coaster ride tonight if you're a Philly fan? You have Jimmy Butler, this guy that you traded for, and then he left within a couple months.
Right.
And then you have this whole Wentz thing where it's like, if he can't beat Nick Mullins, what do we have? What is this? What is the future of Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
So
Doc Rivers to start the week, right?
Oh, yeah, and Doc.
Yeah.
Had that too. So you think this still ends in five?
I do. I think if I were most confident on betting against the spread, I like the Lakers in game four. But I have money on the Lakers, too, so I'm biased. But I do think they come out. And I wish I knew about Bam, but maybe that's a distraction if he gets in there. Who knows? 80%, 75%. But I like the Lakers.
I mean, he was the best guy in the Boston series.
That's true.
It's a tough one. The Dragic thing would have been fun, too. Kendrick Nunn was just awful tonight. Four turnovers, 20 minutes, and it seemed worse than that. He's the one piece that anytime he's in, it doesn't seem like it fits. But, you know, I was thinking, I thought they were going to lose. I had a whole thing I was going to do with you about the worst NBA finals ever.
Oh.
So I was trying to figure it out because 2007 is the go-to.
Yeah.
When young LeBron was in there with nobody else, the Spurs like just wiped the floor with them.
Swept them. Yep.
The 89 Pistons-Lakers when the Lakers kept getting hurt. The games themselves are actually a little better than I think people remember, but it was a sweep, and by game three, you knew it was over.
Yeah.
1971, the Bucks swept the Bullets, and like none of the games were close. That was really bad. And then 2018, which turned out to be a sweep and was over after game one, basically, but had the great game one where LeBron scored 50, I think, and then JR had the big boner at the end of the game.
Right.
But this seemed like it was on pace to be a historically bad finals.
Yeah.
Not to mention no fans.
Yeah.
And the ratings have been abysmal. Like it was just, wow, this sucks that it's going to end this way. And instead now it's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why we were joking on text and I was like, I thought this would be more, I know Lakers Celtics is what everybody wanted, but before this game, I'm like, oh, this has been a letdown. I don't know why I thought the cutaway to Pat Riley, just like, barely watching the game, was going to push this over the hump as a better than average series, but it hasn't. But I've not seen you as excited in a long time as you were when you dug up that column that mentioned how we bet Dallas 37 years ago. You were very excited. You called me. Hey, this was the last time we won. I'm like, all right, read it. Let's hear it. What happened?
So, yeah, I found this thing. I had forgotten. We bet on Dallas in six in 2011 and had this big debate on whether to hedge or not. And I don't think we did. I don't think we hedged it.
Right.
And we just nailed it. And they were plus 450. And we like to joke on this podcast that we've never won ever. We've screwed up the hedge every time. Mm-hmm. That's at least one example where we just crushed it from start to finish.
There you go.
So and I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too. And it was probably the last time I bet on a Dallas team that won. I'm sure we're going to have to get to that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We'll take a break, then we're going to get back to that. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. That's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator also helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals like job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are more likely to convert, and even in some cases, most likely to convert. Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date data fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Start your 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. All right. So, decent day of football today. I mean, you could tell the players, their hearts weren't totally in it with the leader of the nation, you know, not feeling well. I know it was on the minds of a lot of the guys out there.
Oh, God.
Hoping he's okay. You know, just having him in their thoughts. They were able to gut through and I thought play some decent football. Yeah. Your team, these should be 0-4, but are somehow 1-3 Cowboys. Got annihilated by a Browns team that lost Nick Chubb in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. That got a pretty shitty Baker Mayfield performance for the most part, considering all the guys he overthrew, underthrew, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you still got crushed, and yet you're down 3, and it looks like in the fourth quarter, it's like, oh my God, we're doing this again? You believed at one point.
No, maybe I believe, but it doesn't even matter anymore. I don't get excited when they score and cut it to 3 or whatever and going for the onside kick, because I am able now to focus and say, is this team going to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, or are they going to stay within 20 points of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? So I work backwards from there, and we're not a great team. Really, we're like... We have very exciting moments in these games. I guess I can count, you know, I mean, I guess that's good, right? Like if you're a Jaguars fan, there's a lot of ho-hum games in there and you'll lose, you know. This is different. I'm going to have 3 strokes every game. Prescott's going to have over 400 yards. I think he has like
502 yards today.
It was insane what he does. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with his contract. He's going to have Hall of Fame numbers and Jerry's going to be like, sorry, we got out of Troy Aikman in 9 games what we got out of you in 3 games, and we made it to the Super Bowl, and I overpaid for Zeke, who doesn't seem like, I don't know what I believe about COVID side effects or after effects, but that guy is out of it. He really is. Talk about someone who doesn't want to be on the field because the president is sick. I don't know what Zeke is doing. There's always a turnover. There's always a weird play. There's always a weird call. We got a helmet-to-helmet call on a ball we intercepted. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I guess like we just have this kid that's, you know, very exciting and, you know, we're watching him grow, but you're not going to get a gift from him on your birthday. That's it. That's how I look at the Cowboys.
You can't trade Zeke, right? His contract makes that too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Too much. Way too much money. I mean, that should be the last of the big running back contracts, right? Just speaking plainly, forget about Zeke. Why would you ever pay a running back that much anymore?
This is a trend I noticed.
Yeah.
Noticed that last week with Carolina. I didn't bet on Carolina last week, but I picked them. Just because they lose McCaffrey and the line swings completely so far out of whack. And then they win without McCaffrey. And then you watch the game this week. They were great this week.
Mike Davis
is like, yeah, he's solid. He's like a B or a B+. But it's
fine.
You know, I think we see this over again. You saw it with the Giants. Like, they didn't have Saquon. It's like, oh, their season's over. They're done. They were in that game. Freeman was good.
Yep.
And if Jones hadn't thrown a dumb pick at the end, I actually think they had a chance to tie that game.
I think
we just, you know, we've talked about how running backs overrated. You don't want to overpay them. They don't last as long as you want to. But I think we even overrate them, like, in the game-to-game course of the year. Like, you know, like the Patriots lost James White last year. People are like, oh my God, they lost James White. It's like, they're going to be fine. They'll just put somebody else in. I don't think running backs matter that much. I really don't. I think Kamara is the one guy that I think dramatically matters because I'm not even sure Breeze is that good anymore. And Kamara is just, everyone's so terrified of him. It's almost like he's more than a running back. He's some new position that I don't know what we've named. But other than that, it's like just, can you tell any of the Rams guys apart?
It's so funny.
Like seven of them.
I wrote down Kamara because I think he's the only one that made a difference. But I don't know that I would pay him that much either. I just don't. But where's the Billy Bean? Where's the Moneyball guy who's going to step in and say, hey, guys, cut this out. You could do a three-headed monster.
You know who it is?
The Rams
it's Bill
are trying
Belichick.
To do it. He's doing it.
With Rex Burkhead, James White.
I guess.
Sony, I kind of suck Michelle.
Right.
And Damien Harris and Taylor, the little guy we have. And it's like, they don't care. They're never going to pay for running backs.
But they're not that good. Those guys aren't that good. You know what I'm saying? They don't put numbers up every week. Who's gonna put the three-headed running back out there? I guess the Ravens do it if you count Lamar out there. But just that... All right, we're going to get 160 yards rushing. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not coming from a guy who's making $45 million for the 2.5 years, you know, whatever. So,
well, you knew the Zeke contract was bad when they did it, though.
Yeah, just
it's just not something that smart teams do.
You just keep hearing, oh, they got to pay him. What are they going to do? They have to pay him. Like, you don't have to pay him anymore. You just don't.
Fournette, I think, is the worst case scenario of this.
Oh, right.
Where they spend the fourth pick in the draft on him, and he doesn't even make it to the last year of his rookie scale. It's just so many. It just seems like you can always get the Austin Eckler. Who's that kid in the Chargers now? Kelly?
Yep.
Eckler goes down today. It's like, that's fine. We have Kelly. And then Kelly will go down. But like, that's fine. We have Justin Jackson. There's 100 running backs, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, with the Zeke thing, I don't think you could trade him because the contract makes it hard.
Well, and then you mentioned Nick Chubb goes out, which was great because he's on three of my fantasy teams. So I get no points from him and his team kills my team. So that's fun too. But yeah. And then there's, you know, Kareem Hunt, who should be a starter in the league. Think what you want about him, right?
Well, I have both of those guys on the keeper league we're in together.
Yeah.
And when Hunt comes in, because I think Chubb is really good. I think he's like a top six or seven running back. And then Hunt comes in, he seems like the best running back in the league. Every time they give him the ball, it's like he's getting 5 yards.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what he does over the next couple weeks because he looks fantastic. And then they had two other guys. They had Hilliard. Mm-hmm. He was in there. And then who was the other guy? D'Ernest?
Well, it helps.
D'Ernest somebody?
You know, we have guys that can't tackle. Like, was it Jalen Smith? You just got... They draft the same kind of idiots every year, you know, and I feel bad for like Sean Lee and Leighton Van Der Esch, but it's always the same thing. It's a second round pick. Guy gets hurt in college, and of course he's going to get hurt in the pros. Just of course, that's just how it works with these second rounders, these tough-nosed athletic type football players. They're athletes more than football players, and they'll shine for a while, and then they get hurt, and then you're stuck with them, and they're stuck with their contracts.
Well, your receivers are incredible.
Yeah.
Ben has two of them on his fantasy team.
Which
two? And
it's
just like he has Lamb and he has Cooper. And they're wide open 25 times a game. Like it's like Dak back to pass. And then it's like Lamb's just wide open over the middle of the field. Nobody near him.
Yeah.
So the Philly wins tonight. Philly's 1-2-1. It looks like the tie that the much maligned tie they took last week.
Smart.
Could actually win the NFC. They're going to win it going 6-9-1.
Yeah. Put them a half game out of the lead tying. That's all they needed to do.
So they're in the lead. Your next four games, Giants, Arizona, at Washington, at Philly. And my prediction is you guys probably sweep those and you're fine.
You're not even saying
no,
that
I'm not. I'm not
face.
Reverse
you're
chasing
not
it.
Saying, you're not saying it with a straight face.
You'll beat the
it.
Giants. You'll beat the Giants.
I think we will.
Arizona, who... I took $1 million picks on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to Warren Sharp in House on Friday, and he was like, Arizona's got the 25th offense. I think they're overvalued. I think people just like Kyler Miller. And I'm listening, I'm like, fuck, I think that's what I'm doing. Because I watched them this last game, they sucked. And so I backed off. I didn't actually bet on them. But
a lot of people
I'm
had
not
Arizona.
Sure they're good.
A lot of people had them. I think this was, you know, we're not out of that what we take for granted thing, right? Like, Jared Goff was good in our eyes. I don't know. He corrected it in 3 weeks. Like, all right, Jared Goff's good. Like, all right, why do the Rams
the Niners
have, like,
were another one. What was the Niners line tonight?
those seven and a half. But it's like, yeah, you and I always talk about, what if these certain quarterbacks get down a touchdown? Are you confident in them? It didn't happen with the Rams, but it happened with the Niners. Who's the other quarterback it happened with? It's just, we're not.
Well, Carr is another one. Carr goes behind two scores, it's just turning the TV off.
And of course, Foles. And like Carr, Foles, and Goff all reverted back to what we know they are in a matter of like 40 minutes. They all got on the same page. And that's why, like Carr, you can't even look at a guy's numbers. Like Carr has 8 touchdowns and no interceptions this year. You believe that? 8 touchdowns, right, no interceptions. Dak Prescott's numbers are phenomenal, but these guys are just not winners. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, Giants, Zona, Washington, Philly. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't go 2-2, at least that's pathetic.
It gets rough after
3-1 looks pretty good. Yeah, your schedule gets harder after. Need 3-1.
We'll get a couple ties out of that, I think. Yeah.
Mayfield today against your team was 19 for 30 for 165 yards.
Mm.
And that included Odell taking one pretty far.
Right.
But I don't know. No more Nick Chubb for them. They're 3-1. And one of the weird outcomes so far of the year is the AFC North. Yeah, Pittsburgh's undefeated. They're not playing this week. You have Cleveland's 3-1. Cincy's frisky.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's the other team in that division? I'm blanking. Oh, Baltimore.
Cincinnati, Baltimore.
And they're 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like we'll get at least 2 playoff teams out of there. And then the Browns, it's like, I don't know. The Browns, the way they run the ball, and they're so much better coached than they were last year. It's like, could that be worth three extra wins from last year? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. They where do they go? They have a tough one this week, right? Oh, no. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. But yeah, that's the division that we thought the NFC West was going to be. So, but
right.
Lots of playoff teams from there.
More subplots. Gambling stuff. You know Joe Burrow?
Sure.
3-0-1 against the spread. Still has not covered yet.
Wow.
I actually bet on him this week. I really like that dude. And it can't be overstated how bad his offensive line is.
No.
It is unbelievable that he's throwing for 300 plus yards in these games when you're actually watching them. And I don't know why I'm so attached to him. I didn't bet on their over for the year. I don't have him in a fantasy league. I just like watching him. Some of the shit he's doing in these games compared to the protection he has is out of control.
He takes monster hits in the pocket. Oh. When he leaves the pocket, you don't even blame him for running. He'll get slammed like right by the sideline. Like, I don't know how he's doing it. And he's making these receivers good. He's definitely fun to watch. Minshew was fun to watch too. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked that whole game. I'm surprised. I was like, yeah, Cincinnati, they don't deserve to give anyone 3 or 3.5 points. I was on the wrong side of that. But yeah, Burrow's
that line dropped to Cincy by 1 by game time.
It ended up being low.
It's a lot of Jacksonville thing. Mm-hmm. Seattle is 4-0 against the spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm pointing this stuff out because as we learn over the years, people don't go 16-0 against the spread. It's just stuff to file away. So those are kind of the two outliers so far. Dallas, the Jets, and Houston are all 0-4 against the spread. So congratulations. Your team's 0-4 against the spread.
I think the Titans, who are probably never going to play again, are 0-3 against the spread, right? And they're 3-0. Yeah.
Undefeated teams. We have the Seahawks. We have the Bills, Steelers, and Titans, even though they ended up getting the bye week. And then Packers and Chiefs, we'll find out tomorrow. And that's it. But we have for winless teams, you know how many we have now?
Well, you get mad at me if I guess this. I'll say 5. Wasn't it 6 last week? I'll say 5.
Houston, the Jets, the Giants, and then the Falcons.
Oh, just 4.
Hmm. That's it. We have 4, which leads me to our first cross-off team. It's time. Actually, you know what? Let's take a break. We're going to cross the team off after the break. All right, it's time. Here are our choices. First cross-off team. The New York Jets or the Houston Texans.
Someone said someone wrote me and said we're doing this wrong because there's more playoff teams and there's fewer.
We're doing it right.
Because we are doing it right. Yeah.
Now we're doing it every week the rest of the way.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're doing it correctly.
And that'll give us... Okay. Well, I can't cross the Cowboys off. This would be the earliest that they got.
Can't. We're not allowed to cross any NFC East teams off since 6-9-1 could be the winning record.
The Jets are miserable, and so is Houston. We only can do one. The Jets.
Has to be the Jets.
They're not going to make it. They're not getting a wild card, and they're four games out.
That Thursday game, the Rippon, who the announcers were really praising, he's like, man, he's really, and then all of a sudden he just started throwing the ball to the Jets.
Right.
And it was like, oh, well, he put a good 2.5 quarters in, and it still didn't matter. The Jets, they still couldn't do it. This Denver team that probably shouldn't even be trying to win. But yeah, the Jets, we bet on Jacksonville to be the worst team in the league. It's hard to imagine the Jets aren't going to have the worst record.
The Jets, the Giants have a little fight in them, right? We saw. It's going to be the Jets.
They only scored 9 points today, but their offense looked way better than that. Like, they had drives.
They got down the field faster than the Rams did, right?
Yeah.
They just fell short on a field goal and everything. That Rams defense is, you know, everybody wants to list the MVP. They change their mind every 10 minutes. Is it Russell, hustle, and bustle? Is it Rodgers? Is it Mahomes? Oh, Mahomes was great in the Lamar game. It's him. Aaron Donald is right there. If you don't put him in the list of your top seven, you're an idiot. Do you put him in the list of your top seven? You're an idiot. So you hesitated. You don't even put him in your top seven.
No, I think he's in my top three.
He's in on every play. And his numbers don't show it. A lot of these guys can put up numbers, obviously. He only had 2 tackles, like a half a sack and 3 pressures, but he doesn't get enough credit for the pressures and pushing the line back on runs and stuff like that. It's the only reason they won today.
He's the only one out of all those guys who looks like a video game character.
Yeah.
Where you're playing whoever and the guy just guesses the play and he's sacking the quarterback and you haven't even like done the 7-step drop yet.
Right.
He's doing that. I think him, Wilson, Rodgers, Mahomes. That's really it, right? That's been our best four. Am I leaving anyone out?
Lamar's out, I guess.
I'm just saying for the, if we're doing quarter.
I hate doing MVPs. This. This is crazy.
No, I guess I'm just saying. I think those have been the best four guys.
I guess it is the quarter mark. Wait, we don't have anyone else? Let me look real quick. C.D. Lamb. No, there's no Giants.
No, those are the best.
Yeah, those are the four. Oh, well, people will say Josh Allen. People throw him in there,
too. You know, that's fair. I think he has to be put in. That's fair. I instinctively want to fight it. I thought he was really good in this game. He had a great throw to Diggs that basically clinched
backhand,
the game.
The backhanded one?
The one where he just winged it downfield and Diggs went up and got it, 5-yard line. But
yeah.
They really, normally this doesn't happen where the new receiver shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And in that first year, you don't see the guy click with the QB like that. Yeah.
Well, and also we wrote Diggs off. Remember how upset he was and he wasn't getting the ball and like this body language. I think it was a playoff game against San Francisco and they were probably like good riddance. And then when he went to the Bills, like, oh, it's going to be the same thing, except he's going to be freezing in November. So that's going to make it worse. But I think he had 115 yards today. He's a force. You talk about like a top four receiver. He might be right up there.
Yeah. He's probably next level after that 5 that we mentioned. He reminds me a little Jimmy Butler where he was, just seemed like a diva and a dick in the Vikings situation. But then you see him in a new situation like, maybe at a point.
Yeah.
Maybe play with Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer isn't ideal.
Yeah.
So I'm introducing, I want to do this. First coach fired watch. It's Gase, Quinn, and O'Brien, right? I think Bill O'Brien has to move in here now with the
Oh, man. I think he does. I don't know how much past performance helps because he did win the division. Was it 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 years? So I don't know how much juice you get for that. Yeah, it's
but you
be
trade
those guys.
You trade Hopkins and some first rounders because you're kind of playing for now and you're 0-4.
Mm-hmm. Well, your guy Patricia could be up there too. I know they had that win last week or whatever, but I don't think anyone's getting fired the next couple weeks. So, but if Detroit loses 2 more in a row, I guess they have a bye.
Which coach could fake COVID as a way to stave off the firing as a move? I don't know. The saddest NFL team is a new segment I want to start this week.
Oh, we haven't named it yet.
Should we get a sponsor? Kyle, get us a sponsor for this. It's the saddest NFL team of the week.
We're sponsored by Zoloft. I don't know.
Our 4 finalists this week are the Jets. Huh. The Browns, who Browns. Are now Well, they're not eligible this week because they won. But these are four staples. Jets, Browns, Falcons, Lions are usually in there in some form. I think the Browns have played themselves out of the list. Now I think it's Lions, Jets, Falcons. Lions, just because they're the Lions, but they set a record today. They've now lost six consecutive games in which they lost by 10-plus points. That's never happened before in the history of the league.
Wow. I'm going to reserve my right without seeing the game already tomorrow. I'm going to stick with the Falcons. I think they're the saddest. I think they have one more blown lead in there, one more big blown lead. It could be tomorrow, or if they lose by 40, which is also a case, I'm going to say they're the saddest.
So you're going Falcons, Jets, Lions as your top three?
Yeah.
All right. Jets, I think that's right what there. I would do as well. Couple more lame subplots this week before we get to Guess the Lines. There was a Golden Tate, Jalen Ramsey blood feud that I had no idea about until I was actually watching that game.
Yeah.
Where Jalen Ramsey had two kids with Golden Tate's sister and then ended up with a stripper in Vegas, and Golden Tate was mad, and there's been a lot of back and forth, and they ended up fighting after the game. But not after Jalen had a huge hit on him and a really actually big play in the Giants-Rams game. But this was this whole subplot, and the announcers are alluding to it, and finally I'm like, all right, fuck it. All right, so I'm going to have to Google this. So I have to Google it, and there was a whole New York Post story about it, and it was like a whole real thing.
That's exciting. I love it. Bring it back. You talk about pro wrestling. That's what you imagine. The guy named Golden isn't even the problem here. You know, it's Jalen Ramsey, who we saw Jalen Ramsey during Hard Knocks just walk away from a Zoom meeting with what seemed like the GMs. Like, all right, you're gonna sit or what? Are we gonna get your contract? He's like, I don't want to talk about this. He walked away. Yeah, he's a handful. I don't know if he walked to a strip club or not.
The Hard Knocks takeaway from him was that dude's a handful.
Yeah.
What was the other one with the media members when he was like mad about talking to the media and then they had to bring him back for that?
Yeah.
So anyway, somehow they didn't get video of the actual fight.
Where was it?
It was right after the game in the handshakes.
Oh, it was right. Okay. Oh, I thought they met like in the schoolyard.
100 cameras there. Nobody caught the.
Oh my God.
Apparently they were like swinging. Like, you know, like haymakers, and then fell on each other. Yeah.
Wow. So not like the hockey finals. They don't do it like that.
Another lame subplot was Big Dick Nick, the savior. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting going into this weekend, people were either on the Bears. Mm-hmm. Now they have a better quarterback. They're 3-0. This team's for real. Or like people like me who are like, well, wait a second. We've seen Nick Foles starting quarterback of other teams. That didn't turned out that great. I think the Colts are better than them. That was one that I actually got right, but he looked not good.
I don't know what to think, because when we went over the Lions last week, I was off by 5 points on the Colts line, and I'm off again by a lot on the Colts line this week. And I don't know how Vegas saw it, but their defense was excellent. But Nick Foles should put up points at home. He just should. And everybody laughed at me, and I'm not even saying this was the right move, but Nagy took him out. Trubisky maybe could have brought them back against the Falcons.
Wow. Why? God, the truthers are back.
I said it last week. I said he had 45 yards rushing. He had a touchdown pass, and they pulled him early. And how dare you do that? Like, that's the best part going against Atlanta in the second half. How could they take that from Trubisky? But the answer is Nagy has his mind made up. Didn't matter. He didn't want to see anymore. And that was it. He brought Foles in. And
I think he speaks for America.
Yeah. Now that sucks, because if they won that game, that's a fun game against Tampa. We'll get to it on Thursday night. But now it's like, who wants to watch this Bears team struggle to move the ball?
It's a 3-1 team, and it's like the saddest 3-1.
Yeah.
Well, who's sadder 3-1? Browns or Bears? It's the Bears.
It's the Bears. Yeah, it's the Bears.
Okay.
But they had two big comebacks. So it's also exciting.
Last thing I wanted to hit was I guess we'll do the Brady Breeze overreaction segment every week, just quickly. Mm. Hench and I were texting you that Brady was done. Then he ended up throwing for 5 touchdowns. I don't know why it bothers you so much.
Let us
do our thing.
No, because
he's our ex-wife. We want an event. We're kind of secretly rooting against him. Just let us go through it.
I don't like it. He throws a pick six because you're like two demented old men walking through the park who have to get this out. It's like, he's done. Brady's done. We can't do this anymore. You've been doing this for 15 years. It's not even like when it doesn't bother me as much when he's not on your team, but it's still like, yeah, that's it. And then when he's at his third touchdown pass, you're like, well, he still has that one pass where he throws it over the middle and he can loop it and it goes over the tight end's end.
Yeah.
Like, And then when he's at five touchdown passes, all the different guys, I think, right? I mean, he's like throwing dimes to Evans and you guys like, Brady, he did it. I'm like, I just can't stand it. It drives me nuts. I don't know why you guys have to go through it. Why do you do it?
Well, he hurt our feelings. He spent 20 years with the guy and then he left.
No, but you did it 10 years ago too. It was the same exact thing. Noodle arm. We got noodle arm Brady again.
No, stop it. We never mentioned that. I never turned on Brady when he was on the Patriots.
My God.
Last year was the only time where I was like, what the fuck? Like, this guy's not playing well.
This
why are we
such
blaming
a lie.
Everybody else?
I hate when you lie to the public.
No, that's Hench. That's not me. That's not true.
You go along with it.
You can go back and listen to any podcast we've done since 2007.
It's not the podcast. At the end of the day, everything's fine, but you have to go through the same thing. He doesn't look good. His arm's not the same. He's injured. He must be injured. Why is he even playing? I hate it.
How do you think Breeze looks?
Well, you know, he always puts those numbers up. What did he have? He was 19 for 25. So he's always going to dink and dunk. I think he's better. It's hard against that Detroit team. I did think it was going to be a game like Detroit won, but I was surprised he came back. And like we said, Kamara's strange. Like he kind of lumbers through for the last 20 yards of a score. He did it last week. He does it. He has like that Le'Veon Bell, like kind of, remember like that Le'Veon Bell would go to the hole and just wait and then just like decide he'd commit one way or another.
He's like, patient.
Yeah. He really bails Drew out a lot.
I actually thought that was the weirdest game of the day. Lions go up 14-0.
Right.
The line heading into that game moved from 4.5 to 3 by game time. And they continued what they were doing last week. They just looked great. Mm-hmm. And then the Saints just started putting together drives. Stafford missed a couple throws. It had a chance to be like a 48-45 kind of shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford missed some dudes. I didn't think he had a particularly awesome game. I don't know what to make of Detroit. They might be the good bad team.
Yeah, that's your guy, Patricia. They don't want you to forget that they're a bad team. So if they won the week before, don't jump back on them. Maybe the COVID thing. Maybe I think the line went down. What'd you say? It was like 4.5 went to 3 with New Orleans, probably because of the COVID scare. But maybe it. I don't know. Maybe it energizes teams.
Well, it seemed like there were that game, the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other one where the line moved. You could feel all the action going one way. I think the Rams were another one. I don't think anyone had the Giants.
Right.
So
yeah, everyone had the Rams on some kind of money line parlay or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was another thing. Anyone who threw the Niners in a parlay, you're throwing Nick Mullins in there. That was another thing we learned this week. Not sure about Nick Mullins.
What about, I'm not sure about CJ Beathard either. They show him, he's like, it was like 14 for 15 or something, but he looks like every extra in an ABC drama in 1985.
He's in 30 for something.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break and then we're gonna do Guess the Lines. Before we get to Guess the Lines, let's talk about FanDuel Sportsbook. I swear they didn't put me in charge for a day. If they had, I'm pretty sure I would have come up with something like same game parlays, because that's what they have right now. You can do any combination you want. Player props, point totals, money lines. Knock yourself out. The best part is FanDuel will refund the first same game parlay you lose on any NFL game each week up to $10. That means you can bet a different parlay risk-free every NFL week all season long. That is free money. Like, for instance, Chiefs-Pats, you could do Mahomes will score a rushing TD with the Chiefs to win the game, and that is plus 340. Why not? Risk-free. If you like that one, go ahead and bet it. You'll get $10 back if you don't win. We could do it all season long. FanDuel is the only sportsbook where you can play these same game parlays. Sign up with promo code BS so they know I sent you. And if you already have an account, you're good to go. Same game parlays, risk-free, all season long. Don't forget to use promo code BS on FanDuel's sportsbook app. When you sign up, must be 21 plus, present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, or Iowa. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Terms apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In West Virginia, visit 1800GAMBLER.net. Indiana, 800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 800-522-4700. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Okay, week 5 lines. So, want to cover Monday night really quick? Because we got 2 Monday night games.
Right.
Not only do we have Packers-Falcons, what's the line for that? Like 7?
It is seven. Yeah, I saw before it was seven.
And then Pat's Chiefs is up to 11 because of Brian Hoyer.
What was it initially? It was like seven and a half, and now it's
seven.
11.
No, seven all week.
Seven, right. And now it's 11. I saw 11 and a halfs out there too.
I don't know. I didn't look this up. This is, has to be the most a Patriots team has ever been an underdog.
I was trying
since
to
2000.
Remember. Yeah. Belichick was a...
Oh, since 2001, since some of those playoff games, like the Rams Super Bowl and the Steelers playoff game.
What was the Rams...
It has to be those two, right? Remember Rams Super Bowl?
That was 13 or
remember
something.
You lost all that money that year?
Nah, shut up. Shut up. I don't remember that. Always blocked out. Yeah, aside from when he coached the Browns, there's only a few instances where they were like a 11, 12, 13 point. You're taking the Patriots, aren't you? You're convinced they can keep this close.
There is some stat when Belichick's getting more than seven. He's like... I don't think he's ever lost. It's like one of those stats.
Even between 4 and 8, I think I read 4 and 8 points. And the sample size is small and it's years ago and it has nothing to do with anyone testing positive for a horrible virus. But yeah, he's on the winning end for sure.
I would be very surprised if they kept it close.
You would be.
Because even with Cam, I was leaning toward them wondering if they could keep it within a touchdown.
This is what you like to call the Milton Berle game, right? Like
for the
Kansas
Chiefs.
City. Yeah, it's like, you know, they didn't get up for the Chargers either. And they barely won that game. That's the only hope, I think, for the Patriots because man-to-man, they don't match up. But maybe they just don't care as much, the Chiefs.
What's the generic bet everyone's going to make tomorrow?
A teaser Chiefs, with both teams.
Chiefs, Packers, tease.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the Chiefs that less than a touchdown and the Packers just to win. And people will love that.
So who fucks that? The Falcons or the Pats?
I think the Falcons stay close.
I do too.
I do. They could blow it again, but I think they're going to be... I don't know. I love the Packers, but this will be... And, you know, Davante Adams is... Whatever he plays, he doesn't play. This will be 3 weeks in a row the Packers have played a team without their best receiver. If Julio Jones doesn't play, Galladay didn't play, Michael Thomas didn't play. They're kind of getting lucky, the Packers... I don't know.
Agree.
I see it being close.
And plus, Lazard's not playing. Adams is supposed to play, but he's not 100%.
Right.
Yeah. There's a case for the Falcons. I would go Falcons over if I was doing that. All right. Thursday night. My guy, Tom Brady, I never stopped believing him. Him and the Bucks playing at Chicago, whatever that means. They lost O.J. Howard for the year, it looks like.
Right.
Achilles. Fortunately, I have a couple more tight ends.
Yeah.
Godwin. I don't think Godwin will play, would be my guess. Because if you're sitting him out for this Sunday game, why would you play him 4 days later, especially with the hammy?
McCoy wasn't going to put up 120 yards, but I think they lost him too. You know, that was a nice little outlet for Brady. So all of a sudden losing some guys.
I have the Bucks favored by 3.5 over Chicago.
All right, I got this exactly. And I need to win. I've lost the first 4 weeks to you.
Yeah.
5.5 is the number. And I don't put me on these texts with Hench, or at least start in the second quarter. I don't want to hear it.
I'm going to put it on just because I know you're going to do it.
I hate it. Khalil Mack is going to chase him down from 40 yards and he'd be like, oh, it's over. It's over for him. He's got to get out.
You don't even want to know what my texts with Hench are like about Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson, how bad they've been in this series compared to how they destroyed the Celtics. Every shot they made against the Celtics. is now no longer going in. And Hench and I have had a couple texts about it.
Hench hates it. Hench thinks he's the greatest white basketball player of all time. I think that's why he probably targets those guys.
Hench texted me in all seriousness a couple days ago when somebody was missing three-pointers and said, I made 67 out of 100 in my backyard the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, he's like 51 years old.
Do you know that maniac, whatever high school he went to? I think he went like his senior year, he went like 71 for 74 in free throws. And every year he calls the editor to make sure he still has the record. Can you imagine that poor son of a bitch has to deal with this lunatic?
I almost spat water out. Can you imagine being 51 years old and counting 100 threes in your backyard to see how many and then going back in the house?
Yeah.
He is a lunatic. I love him. He's my favorite person to text him. Sunday marquee game. I'm pulling executive decision here. No marquee game.
Is that
leaving it vacant? Yeah, I didn't think any of them were worthy. So we're gonna go to the watchables.
Okay. Yeah, first you're right. One. You're right. There are none.
First watchables, Bills at Tennessee. I think this has to be in here just because it's two undefeated teams and, you know, it's week five. I also enjoy watching the Bills, I got to say.
Yeah.
I struggled before the year trying to figure out who the disappointing AFC team was going to be. Kind of thought by default it was going to be them. I don't think it is. And I actually think there's not going to be one.
Right.
I don't think we'll have a disappointing AFC team.
They're fun because they no longer take 18 plays to score, right? So they're not, you're going to put them up on a screen. Josh Allen throws good balls. He throws balls sidearm. He's nowhere near Patrick Mahomes, but he's kind of dynamic and fun to watch like that. What were we going to say?
Singletary's really fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're good. They play defense.
Stephon Diggs is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of enjoy him. When they're on the TV, it's pleasant.
Well, I feel like stuff's going to happen. You got to start hating them if the Patriots keep this close. This has to be your rival. I know it's weird for them not to be your rival after all these years, but.
I'm still in the it's adorable when the Bills are good, but when play them, we'll beat them stage. So we'll see when we have to play them.
Interesting.
I mean, honestly, we've been beating them since I lived in Boston.
I got it.
Which was like 20 years ago.
What did you think this line was?
Bills -2.5 over the Titans.
You get it. I went 3.5, and it's only one point favorite of the Titans. Is this playing? Like the Titans have every day. There's like three new players test positive for the Titans. They must have like a 300 man roster because for days and days it's been more and more positive tests.
I find it hard to believe they could add this many positives.
Right. Or this many players. I don't know. So many.
Obviously, guys weren't wearing masks in the meetings and stuff.
Right.
Because how else would it be spreading like this?
I don't know.
Does it make sense?
I think they're done. I think they're done for the year at 3-0. And if they finish the year 3-0, do the 72 Dolphins have to, they don't get to toast, right? Because that's another undefeated team.
Well, Shula's dead now. They can't do that anymore.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they can't do
that.
Yeah,
Shula,
anyway.
As far as he goes, he's for eternity. Right. He was undefeated now.
Right.
Next watchable game is the Chiefs at home against the Nevada Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, they're not very good, but for some reason their games are entertaining. I have the Chiefs by 9.5.
You edged me out here. We both went low, though. They have it as 12.
Oh, okay. That seems too high.
You know, whatever. We both know that KC could score 40 or 45, but I don't know how much they get up for a game like this. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a three-team teaser game.
Third watchable game is going to surprise you. Cowboys -7 against the Giants.
Oh,
here's why
wrong.
I have the Cowboys in here. You guys are fucking watchable. I know it's taking years off your life.
All right.
I know it's almost a fate worse than COVID in some ways to have to watch them week after week, but goddamn, it's fun to watch them. There's a million fantasy guys.
Right.
They're never out of any game. It could be 41-10. I keep the TV on because it's like, you know, touchdown and a 2-point, they're back in it. I like watching them.
All right. It's true. I could see why someone might like watching them. doesn't have to root for them. What did you say? It was 7?
I went with 7.
Boy, we were both off on this, but we're going to get a tie here. It's 9. I said 11. So we both, we tie here, right? Line is 9.
That's stupid.
Chiefs, Cowboys, we need a third team.
Your team does not deserve to ever be thrown in a teaser.
How dare you?
Your team can't be trusted. Your defense is like legitimately terrible. Like it's terrible.
One Hail Mary away from waking up in first place on Monday morning from the Eagles. So I want to hear it.
You're giving up 40 points a game, like legitimately, I think.
Is that true?
Something like that,
oh
right?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
How about this? What game haven't you given up 40 points?
Is there no preseason? Yeah, we didn't play preseason games. Yeah. Yeah. No team. No.
Like Danny Jones is a fantasy starter next week.
Yeah, you're right.
Put him in there.
Yep.
We're going to take a break and then do the rest of the games. All right, before we do the rest of the games, two bye teams this week, the Lions and the Packers. So if you're ever going to just dump Matt Patricia, this would be the week. Barely watchables. Got five games. Falcons home for the Panthers. I've Falcons by one.
All right, I got this exactly. 3.5. Falcons are the 0-3 Falcons on a short week will be favored by 3.5 over Carolina. Carolina's another watchable. You like them. You like Teddy Two Gloves. Why not?
I like week 5. I feel like I have a handle on everybody, and you can overrate, underrate people depending on how they looked against the team. And like Detroit looks really good against Arizona. You're like, oh, Detroit's good. And then it's like, oh, maybe Arizona's not as good as we thought. I think we've seen enough now. I think the Panthers are pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think they're well coached. I think this Matt Rhule thing might have been the every year there's that new coach that comes in and the team just looks crisp. Their defense flies around. I can't name one person on it. Mm. Bridgewater does stuff. He can move around. They put him in position to succeed. The fact that they're succeeding without McCaffrey, I think, has been impressive. I think they're pretty good. I was really impressed by them today.
They didn't let Arizona in the game at all.
No. Right?
Like they didn't give him a shot.
Game wasn't close.
Right. Yeah, they're fun. They needed to get rid of Luke Kuechly. That was it. As soon as he's gone, good again on defense.
Well, my point is this should be a pick 'em. I don't know how home field advantage matters even at all. I think Carolina's better than Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the Falcons lose next week, they're probably going to fire their coach. But
well, why don't you jump on this then?
I might jump on this.
I did that. Who was Green Bay playing? They were playing the Saints, right? The Saints hadn't even played their Monday game, and Green Bay was getting 4. I was like, something could happen to the Saints. Breeze could get hurt. Kamara could be out. Why wouldn't there's injuries all the time? So why wouldn't you jump on a +3.5 here?
I'm going bad. To.
All right.
Next one. Steelers home for the Eagles. The rejuvenated 1-2-1 Eagles. They'll be doing a 30 for 30 about how that tie turned their season around. They could probably stop doing the Jalen Hurts, bring him in, try to make stuff happen play.
Yeah.
Maybe scrap that one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to justify that pick to us anymore. Just let Carson Wentz cook. I have the Steelers by 7.
Yeah, you got that exactly. It's 7. I said 6.5. That stinks.
I think the Eagles stink. So the Steelers are a tease to me.
Wait a minute. You think the Cowboys are going to get first place back?
Could happen.
That'd be exciting.
Rams are at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington continues to look kind of lively for about an hour, and then it fades away. But they always have a good hour, though.
They can't. That Baltimore was 12.5, 13.5. It was 14 in some spots. They came back to push on that. And they were getting beat up. But they don't really do anything offensively. I think they had like 75, 80 yards rushing today.
I have the Rams by 7 in that one.
Where are we?
Rams,
I said, I had 7.5. It's 9. So okay, I get that.
That's stupid.
Yeah. I'm back to not trusting Jared Goff anymore. I know he hit Cooper Kupp in stride. I feel like that should happen 5 times a game. I don't get it. I don't know why we have to wait 2.5 hours for that.
I totally agree. Ravens, Bengals. I would sit Joe Burrow for this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd come up with some sort of fake Joe Burrow injury so he doesn't have to get hit 200 times in this game. This is the game you sit. I have Ravens by 12.
Yeah, I don't know why I went low. I went 10.5. It's 13.5. Ravens win. Chiefs win. Cowboys probably win. But keep going. I think we have our money line parlay, but keep going.
So on $1 million picks, I do the long shot parlay of the week.
Yeah.
And I hit it in week 1. It was like 10-1. Mm-hmm. And I hit it in week 4. It was +944. Eagles, Browns.
Nice.
I think the Bengals might be one of my two teams for the long shot parlay.
Oh, I
do think there's a world in which Joe Burrow gets hit 50 times, but somehow they're down 3 with him driving late. And people are like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
How is his right arm still hanging on his body?
Well, don't make it a parlay. You're getting good odds just to take it alone, right?
Why but that's why it's a long shot parlay of the week, though.
Anything you put with it, it's going to get 40-1.
I think, well, it could be the Giants. Maybe I'll do that just to spite you.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It could easily come in.
And this is could have been a poop-fecta game, but I can't ever put the Pats in the poop-fecta. Pats, Broncos in New England. This could be the Brian Hoyer, Brett Rippian battle we've all been waiting for. Rippin, whatever.
I made the joke. I'm like, the LA doesn't even, this is even a, this is a fair. They give this guy Rippin a name of an average quarterback from the early 90s and give him a different first day. Like, all right, we try to get Larry Testaverde, but he's not around. So how about Brett Rippin? You think people will buy that? Larry. Yeah.
Does Larry Testaverde exist?
No, I don't think so. Wait, let me check this line because this didn't seem right to me. Oh, wow. It is. Okay. I mean, so this is with or without Cam? This has got to be without him, right?
Yeah, I had Pats by 6.
Yeah, it's 8.5. I went 7.5.
That seems too high.
Yeah, that's a weird number. Without Cam. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah, you got Larry Testaverde. What does it matter?
Larry's, what school did Larry go to? Iowa State?
He went to Old Dominion, but an even older Dominion.
Older Dominion.
Yeah.
The poop-fecta only has one game this week. It's the Cards and the Jets. What a fall for Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what kind of offense they're running, but anytime he scrambles, there's three guys there. Mm-hmm. Anytime he just drops back to pass, nobody's open. Mm-hmm. And the running game doesn't work. I don't know what happened, but I have the Cardinals by 4.5 over the Jets.
You're going to get it. I said 4. It's 7.5. The Vegas hates the Jets. They absolutely despise the Jets. So you get that one. It's funny. Kyler was what we didn't mention him in our MVP talk, but a lot of people loved him last week at around 10 or 11 or 12 to 1. They said that was a steal. And we're like, oh, yeah, because he throws 2 touchdowns to Andy Isabella. That's the Cardinals. It's like, no. I think we saw what they're about today.
Do you think the Jets, every year Vegas has the team where they're just like, I dare you to bet on these guys. So they just jack it up by 3 points.
Usually
that's
the Browns.
What this feels like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like they're like, you're not going to bet on the Jets. I'm going to make this 7.5. Sunday night, Seahawks, Vikings. Vikings.
At least this is a little better now. I'm glad the Vikings won. So this is now a decent game.
I mean, they could be 2-2 with a couple of breaks last week.
Yeah.
Cook looks great.
Yeah, that's a nice little
they have 2 good receivers. Mm-hmm. They're not terrible. I have the Seahawks by 8.
We split it. It's 7.5. I said 7. Let me count these.
Who's winning right now?
Now we got to get it. It's close now. 1, 2, 3. 7-3, 4, 5, 6. You're up by 1. How many games are left?
1 game.
I got to see. Well, no, there's 1. There's 1, and then there's the Monday night. Miami, San Fran.
Oh, I didn't have that one.
Isn't that a game? It's got to be.
Yeah, I somehow missed that one.
You know what, though? I don't think there's a line. Shit, there's no line. I'm going to get rooked here.
I would have put that in the barely watchables anyway.
There's no line on this game, so you're gonna get a 1-game lead going into the Monday night game. Yeah, I don't know. They have to rush Jimmy G back, I think. To compete.
Big win for
him. Division.
Listen, that worked out great for him.
It really did.
He's like, all right, enough with the fucking Nick Mullins. This could be his team articles. Just stop writing them, please.
Right.
I'm better than this guy. Nick Mullins had a couple of terrible passes.
Oh, that pick six was atrocious.
It was really bad. All right, Monday night, I got Saints laying 7.5 to the Chargers.
Son of a bitch. You're 5-0. Has anyone ever started 5-0? We've done this 14 years. You hit it exactly, 7.5. I had 6.5. Wow.
I added a 0.5 because the Bucs were favored by 7 over the Chargers. So I just like the Saints are a 0.5 better.
You can't do that. That's cheating. Well, you're allowed to do that?
That was my formula.
Hey, I love Herbert. Isn't he fun?
Herbert throws a really nice deep pass.
Here were his touchdowns. His touchdowns were to Donald Parham, Tyron Johnson and Jalen Guyton. And now he has Eckler out. I don't know. I know there's good replacements everywhere, but they have similar injury list to San Francisco if you go to the defensive side of the ball too. And he's getting it done. He's fun to watch. He throws like 1 bad throw pass a game, but I think the average quarterback probably throws like 4.
I like his deep ball. It feels very AFL late 1960s-ish. Something about like the way he does it with his hair and all that stuff. Is Eckler out for the year? What happened with that?
No, I don't think so. It looks like it's going to be for a while, though, right? So was it a knee thing? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I felt bad for him because he finally got the chance.
Yep, they were fun.
Well,
what's the matter? Do you think that's the last week? You just sighed like this is the last time we're ever going to do this.
I do wonder if that was it. I'm already getting nostalgic for Guess the Last.
Oh, man.
They never, a week from now, who knows? Is our president going to be alive a week from now? Are we going to have football? Like, what's going
to
happen?
And ironically, he brought football back, at least to the Midwest. So, wow. What a punch to the heart that would be.
The only thing that could cheer us up right now is Parent Corner.
All right.
All right. It's time for Parent Corner. Brought to you by CarMax, the way car buying should be. As parents, we need all the confidence we can get. And when it comes to used car shopping, our friends at CarMax have got your back. Choose from over 40,000 CarMax certified cars at CarMax.com, all backed with a worry-free limited warranty for 90 days or 4,000 miles, whatever comes first. Car shopping with confidence at CarMax. Stop by your local CarMax for written details and see how easy car buying can be. Check them out today. CarMax.com.
By the way, right when I was going on, your daughter, your 15-year-old daughter was on Roblox with my 6-year-old son.
Oh, yeah. She was, my daughter texted her son and really wanted to play Roblox with him. And
older son. My old, they texted, we don't want it to get weird. But yeah, they texted each other. My son's like, oh, Harrison doesn't remember you. And Zoe, your daughter got mad. She's like, what? He doesn't remember me. We're playing Roblox. And I think they were playing like for an hour. It's like another virtual game that I have to pay $7 a week for so he can get like a fiery helmet or some shit.
She wants to come visit you guys.
Yeah.
So we might just show up in 3 hazmat suits.
Let's do it.
Zoe and Ben and do it. All right. Let's do Parent Corner. You're up.
I don't have air conditioning here, so it gets real hot. For some reason in LA, it's hottest in late September, October, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have air conditioning because we don't need it most of the year. We're kind of close to the beach, like 6 blocks from the beach. But there are 3 weeks where we really need it and we don't get it. And the whole family is furious at me because we don't have it. So I took the kids to the beach and because I have to be so competitive, we're in the ocean. And I bet them that I wouldn't get knocked over by as many waves as they did. Now I'm a big, fat, almost 200-pound man, so I should have the advantage. But I went further out where the waves were higher, so that was their advantage. And it ended up being like 6-5 to 3 or something, and I won that. So everything has to be betting. Everything has to be competitive. I come home Saturday night. And my youngest one is back into the bottle flipping. That damn bottle flipping. I thought it was over and he's flipping freaking bottles and I hate it because I think it's going to open every single time and spill all over the floor and into the grate and everything. And I'm like, please stop. And it makes a terrible noise. And why are we doing it anyway? But he kept doing it. I was like, look, here's the thing. We're going to do this one more time and I'm going to give you $5 if you make it. All right. And, if you don't, you have to give me $1 and you have to stop. And he's like, okay. My 6-year-old flips it. It lands. I didn't even give a shit. I was happy. He made it. I only have $10 in my wallet and I'm getting creamed on the football games, on all the college games. So I just want him away from me. I spent an hour and a half with you in the ocean. Just get away with the bottle, please. He wins. I owe him $5. I give him 10. And he's like, thanks, Dad. I was like, well, wait a minute. You have to bring me change. I know these kids have wallets full of like dollar bills and everything and $2 bills that they got from the tooth fairy for years. I was like, you have to bring me change. So I owe him 5. I give him 10. He's gone for like 3 minutes. He comes back with a $50 bill, which must have been like a grandparent gift or something.
Yeah. Birthday card.
And now I have to decide, do I keep the 50 or do I teach him a lesson? And I'm looking at the TV and I'm getting slaughtered by Central Florida, who I have on the money line. It was up 16-0 and blow a 16-0 lead because they had 15 pre-snap penalty. That's a whole other thing. I'm like, I could really use this money right now. And I thought about it, and then I asked my wife, I'm like, should I teach him a lesson? She's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Give him his damn money back. So I ended up giving the money back. So I don't know what the lesson is there, but...
did he know what the $50 bill meant?
So then I had to explain to him. I was like, hey, this is 50. I only owed you five. You know, I gave you 10. You should be able to do this.
The zero is better. When there's a zero, it's good.
Exactly. It's five. There's no decimal point here. Keep your damn 50. Please go bottle flip outside. So that was that.
I am breaking protocol. I'm doing a wife corner this week.
Oh, all right. Ben got, he said no more?
No. It's not wife. Oh. I wanted to commemorate my wife.
It's nice.
The triple crown for her is losing her phone, losing her car keys, and losing her purse, right?
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to say sunglasses. No?
Sunglasses, yeah, I guess, you know, but okay. It's usually one of those three. I've never seen her do it in the same day, but she came really close the other day. She did three things. Two of them I'd never seen her do before. I'm working in the house in the morning and she's leaving. She's going to play tennis. And she goes and then she comes back and she's like, I left my phone. I'm like, I thought you just left. I did. I left my phone. Walking around. I'm in a Zoom for work, mm-hmm. thinking nobody's going to be home. And she's stomping around. Finally, I'm like, you know, do the mute, close the video thing. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, I can't find my phone. I had my phone. I can't find it. She's like freaking out. She's like, call my phone. So call the phone. Don't hear it ring. Mm-hmm. All right. Where is it? It's that somebody took it. Somebody went in our driveway and took it. Like nobody took your phone.
In the driveway.
So we have this thing. Do you have that thing where you can see where everybody in your family is? Life 360? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do the Life 360 and it's on the street that's like five blocks down.
What?
And it's pulsating.
It was on her top of her car?
We drive down there. Yeah. We're driving up and down the street. I'm like, I bet you put it on top of your car and drove with it. She's like, no, I wouldn't have done that. needless to say, it's on the ground next to these two random dudes who are working in front of some house.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, the screen is not the screen, but the holder thing's cracked. And it's just, it obviously was on her car and drove off. So then it's like, haha. And I'm like furious because I just left the Zoom. She's like, don't get mad at me. I'm like, all right, so when can I get mad at you? How about when you drive away with your phone on your fucking car?
Yeah.
So that happens. So a couple hours later, I'm in the kitchen with Zoe and Carrie comes home. She's got like maybe 15 minutes to make like a quick toast sandwich thing. Puts the pita bread in. And then she can't get it to come out. And she's banging the toaster, banging it. Finally flips the toaster up to try to bang it and breaks the toaster.
Nice.
So that was the second thing. Third thing, I'm doing a podcast 3 hours later. And everybody knows when I'm back here, don't come back here. You know, you got to concentrate. You look up, people are looking through the window. She's like, just leave me alone. If I close the door, like, just stay away. So I see her looking in. Turns out she had been looking for her purse for 25 minutes, but she had left her purse in the guest house because she had come to tell me something. So her purse was in there. So it was the lost phone, lost purse.
Toaster.
Broken toaster, all in the span of 5 hours. I feel like this was as close to the triple crown as I'm going to see. She didn't lose her keys, though. No keys. keys weren't lost. But that was as close. But does your wife have days like that where you're just like... And then they're mad at you. It's like, don't look at me that way. It's like, well, where am I supposed to look? You're walking around like a maniac.
Right. Yeah. You have to be supportive. You're like, how do you get through a day? This is very strange.
What's our role? What's our role during that? Are we supposed to be like, oh man, I just can't believe you can't find your keys. This is so unfair.
I don't know. Right. Exactly.
It's the keys' fault. It's not your fault. It's the keys. Yeah, why did the keys do this?
bless her heart, your wife. I honestly think we have three pair of her sunglasses in our house right now.
Oh, there's no question. But do you want a toaster?
I would like a toaster. Yeah.
We were joking the whole day. She had a fight with the toaster. Like she literally had an altercation with it. I wish I had a security camera in the house. So anyway, that was wife corner.
That's great. That's great.
I left out my son for this week.
He gets a little reprieve there.
All right, that was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There you go.
This could be our last week for NBA.
Don't say it. Oh, for NBA. That's fine.
It's very possible. They play Tuesday, game four, and then game five is Friday. Could be done by Friday.
Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. Is that the next three? Is that what
I mean, if Miami didn't win game three, this finals would have been over in six days. It would have been the fastest finals we've ever had. NFL, God only knows. We know we have two Monday night football games tomorrow, hopefully. Baseball playoffs, we didn't talk about. Baseball just took the weekend off. What are they doing?
They didn't want to compete. They did not want to compete with college football, NBA, and NFL, but it seemed like there was a lot. They could have thrown a couple of night games in Saturday night for sure. Can you name the four matchups right now? This is sad. Like, I have to think about it. I'm not putting you on the spot just to belittle you. This is sad that we don't know this anymore.
Dodgers Marlins?
No.
Dodgers Cardinals?
That's right.
Marlins Reds?
No, Reds are out.
Marlins Braves?
Marlins Braves. Come on, you could do this.
Yankees A's?
No.
Who is it?
Yankees Rays. And
A's Astros.
Astros, yeah. There you go. And that's sad. I mean, even 5 years ago, we would have been way more into this, right?
I can't believe baseball didn't play this weekend.
Really?
They had a little momentum on Wednesday, Thursday. Like, I watched the Dodgers-Brewers game. It was fun to watch Kershaw light up the terrible Brewers.
Yeah. We talked about this.
A couple good
this
game
is,
sevens.
This is now just, this is just an afternoon sport, right? This is kind of like an afternoon kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah, your theory was that they realize their audience now is just over 45 white guys who are probably home or maybe retired.
That's all.
Which is basically my dad.
Exactly.
So what would my dad want to watch? Well, probably like weekday baseball.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, when it comes down to the, you know, the ALCS or NLCS, I'm going to miss the fans the most out of any sport, because that's the drama. Watching the pitcher blow on his hand, it's cold. Watching the fans like grabbing their heads, putting their heads, like, that's, to me, that's the one sport that needs fans for TV purposes, for sure.
So what's their best Final Four then? Yankees Astros would be stupendous.
That would Yankees Astros.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And then Dodgers Braves?
Dodgers Braves on that side? Yeah. I think so. Although the Marlins are a fun story. Nobody knows any Marlins, but the Marlins.
Well, they have the Pedro Jr.
Yeah, that's true. They do. But as far as like this team wasn't even going to field the team and they had, you know, 20 games left with 2 weeks. Like, how did they do it? That's a fun storyline, but I don't know.
It's like, how did they do it? Well, they did it because this was like this weird short season that
poor
I can't
baseball.
Believe it's going to count.
Poor baseball.
How many guys do you think decided not to juice this year just because it wasn't worth it?
Oh, wow.
Say over under like 8-9?
Yeah,
stars?
Maybe. Yeah.
Had to have been a couple that are like, fuck it, I'm not doing it. I'll give my body a rest this year.
Maybe, but this is also probably the year you get away with it, right? Yeah, they're COVID testing us. They don't care about HGH.
But. Yeah, true. Good point. Yeah. Well, I can't believe they took the weekend off. I thought that was the weirdest thing. I didn't know where the baseball was yesterday. I was like, is it on True TV? I'm going through all that. And then I realized that there's no games at all.
Yeah.
No, that's happening.
That was it.
All right, what do you got to plug?
What do I have? Extra Points Podcast Network. Got Extra Points Against All Odds. Hey, the Parlay Kid at a 6-1 odd parlay. Waiver Wired, Laugh Lines, Lemon Pepper Parlay at -3. Fox Bet Live, 5 p.m. Eastern on FS1. I'm on there with Rachel Bonetta, Clay Travis, Todd Furman. And my book is out. You Can't Lose Them All. Pre-order on Amazon.
Pre-order it, yeah.
Yeah, go get that. Or Barnes & Noble. And I start the Thursday night thing. I do a pregame show comedy bit. I think I'm doing one with Aaron Andrews this Thursday. So it'll be fun.
On Fox?
Yeah, on Fox.
That's exciting. Did you Did Clay Travis have any comment about the Titans being the team that got demolished by COVID positive tests when he was like the number one COVID isn't real guy out there?
Not a great week for Clay Travis. His big dog Trump gets COVID. His team might never play again. Pretty spectacular on the corner scale.
Is he more receptive now to the thought of COVID maybe being a real thing or no? As his football team misses week after week?
He texted me something along the lines of herd immunity, baby. And then that's it. I threw my phone. I threw my phone in the street with your wives.
It was on the top of her car.
That was it. Yeah.
So your wife had never done that. Your wife's never driven with the phone on the roof of the car.
I think a purse and definitely a coffee and stuff like that. But I don't think, no, not a phone. How far would you get before you knew you didn't have your phone? I don't think I'd get six steps out of my house or a quarter of a mile in the car.
It's a great point. I would know within a block.
Yeah, right.
Because I always put it in the same place, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Sal?
Hey, we're doing this. We're doing this next week, goddammit.
Sal, I hope I see you a week from now. Good job by you.
Good job by you.
That's it for the BS Podcast. You can check out all of the podcasts on Spotify, and the entire Rewatchables library is on Spotify as well. See you on Tuesday night with Priscilla.